today, those folks that are out there listening to this on the internet, a brief introduction. Last week was Mother's Day, and unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, we spent last Mother's Day at a hospice with my mother-in-law and Carolyn's mom. Now, when this was going on at that hospice, the Lord was working. And first, he sent us a message. And the message comes from my brother-in-law, Carolyn's brother, who's also a pastor. His name is Steve Thornton. And Steve wrote this wonderful, wonderful letter. I've never heard anything like it. And I'm going to have Carolyn go ahead and read that letter.
To my wonderful mother on Mother's Day. My dear and precious mother, yes, it's Mother's Day, and even though it's hard to celebrate this day, knowing what you are going through, regardless, I believe God calls us to lift up our eyes and praise our Lord for enabling us to experience your life firsthand and honor you for making the right choice in life. It was through you that your family found our love for God, and it will be through him that we choose to live our lives. We honor and love you, Mother, and we thank you for the godly example you have set for us all. Mother, last night while sleeping, God placed this thought in my mind, and I wanted to share it with you. God showed me a parallel between the life of Jesus and our lives here on earth. I understood his message to be about the life cycle of humans, whether Christian or not. All humans are created in the mother's womb, and then presented to the world naked and afraid. A baby's first sound of life is a cry. This cry isn't because of pain, but rather a call for their mother. When the child reaches the mother's arms, the crying stops, and a supernatural peace falls upon the heart and mind of the little baby. The life birthing process is very much like what new Christians feel when they give their lives over to God for the first time. They have experienced life in their mother's arms, but then they are separated from their mother's bosom to explore life on their own for the first time. It's not long before they realize that life is a process of learning, and this process will be filled with a share of love, joy, peace, pain, sorrow, and finally death. It is up to the individual to decide how they choose to live life. Will we attempt to go about life alone, using only the strength we can muster, or will we accept the love and guidance God has provided through his Son? So do we go it alone, or do we share the walk of life with Jesus? That is our most important life question. God made it clear to me that our life is a parallel to the life of Jesus. Jesus was placed here on earth by God, the Father, to experience what we humans will experience. He enabled Jesus to set the perfect example for us. So Jesus was left to handle life's ordeals. Satan wanted him to fail, so he came to Jesus and tempted him to use his God-given power to escape his circumstances. Jesus rejected Satan's temptations and, instead, chose to live the balance of his life, looking to God for his strength. There were times when Jesus cried out to his Father above, asking him to take his heavy burdens away, just as we cry at times for God to remove our heavy burdens. God did not remove his Son's burdens. Rather, he enabled his Son to endure them. Deep in the heart of Jesus, he knew his destiny would end at the cross, yet he remained committed to his Father's will and would see it through to the end. The life cycle of Jesus began in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He grew up as a normal child, but his life had a heavenly purpose. Jesus set the example for us all by living a sinless life. Then he paid the ultimate price on the cross and surrendered his life as a perfect substitute for us. His death made it possible for our eternal life. Without his blood on the cross, we all would be destined to eternal suffering and darkness, never before seen by man. Jesus did not escape the pain and sorrows of life. Rather, he endured them through a complete and committed relationship with his Father in heaven. God honored his Son's sacrifice on the cross by rewarding all those who would believe in his Son Jesus with a direct gateway to eternal life with him. This promise of eternal life was represented by his Son's resurrection on the third day. So Jesus' life cycle started with a human birth, then endured life's peace, joy, love, pain, sorrow, and finally, death on the cross. It didn't end there for Jesus, and it won't end there for those who believe in him. Jesus' life journey continued as he found himself back in his Father's arms, where he is honored as the one and only pathway to eternal life for those who believe. So where does this leave all of us who remain here on earth? And what should we expect out of the life cycle we have been gifted? First, we must decide if we are going to walk alone under our own power, or are we going to accept the companionship of the Holy Spirit through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Once this important question is answered, we will either complete our life cycle alone with no assurance of eternal life, or we will share our love, joy, peace, pain, sorrow, and ultimate death with the one who loves us most. For believers, we can know without a shadow of doubt that at the end of our human life experience, we will receive a brand new heavenly body, absent of pain and suffering, and we will understand the peace and joy associated with God's true agape love. This true love is not temporal. It is eternal and guaranteed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So what can you expect at the end of your assigned life here on earth? It really depends on the answer you gave somewhere within your life journey. Did you choose to live your life for yourself, by yourself? Or did you decide to put your faith in the one who would walk with you through life and open the door to heaven once your life was over? If you haven't answered that question yet, now is the time, for God does not foretell when our time is up. We must live life every minute as if it is our last. No one but God knows what tomorrow brings. The heavenly clock is ticking. Make your decision now. So one might ask, how can I experience joy in a time when my mother is coming to the end of her life cycle? I can experience joy because I know without a shadow of doubt that my mother has chosen a life with Jesus and not a life of this world. She has endeavored to mirror the example Jesus set during his life, and as a result, has or will continue to experience all the love, joy, peace, pain, sorrow, and even death, as is our destiny. The difference is my mother has been assured a clear passage to her new life with Jesus when God calls her home. A life filled with eternal love, joy, and peace, absent of all sorrow, suffering, pain, and even death. Mother will be able to speak directly to Jesus, and he will explain all the mysteries of her life. She will live under the light of God forever and ever. God will fulfill all the promises represented in Scripture, and she will receive a special gift of reuniting with her loved ones who have passed before her. Mother's pain will be gone, and her joy will be magnified in God's loving presence. My mother has set the perfect example for those who love her. She has done so by choosing Jesus as the only doorway to eternal life. Not all will understand or accept this statement, but all will have the opportunity to consider it for themselves at some point in their life. When you are asked, what will your answer be? Mother, I thank God you are my mother, and I have had the pleasure of your unending loving compassion for me and my family. You are the perfect example of a true mother figure in the eyes of the Lord. I know without question God has already sung this song in the heavenly realm. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. I pray to God that his will be done in your life, and that he will provide you with heavenly peace as he completes this chapter in your book of life. I love you with all my mind, heart, and soul, as does your entire family. Our selfish wish is for a supernatural miracle leading to a complete healing of your body. This is my true desire, but I choose God's will over my own. I know you understand how I feel, so I can say this without fear of misunderstanding. I will live in your loving shadow forevermore. Happy Mother's Day. Love, peace.
The Lord God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves will take great delight in you, and his love will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. We all go through life trying to control situations. Sometimes when these situations happen, we want to rush in and rescue whoever is in peril, our family, our loved ones, our friends. We want to rush in and take control and bring in the command center and bark out the directions. You go there, you go here, you do this. Take in all the communications. Disseminate all the orders. But we make a very, very bad mistake when we do that. First of all, we need to let Jesus be the one in control. We need to stop what we're doing. Sure, there's things that have to be managed, but before we even attempt it, we need to stop dead in our tracks. We need to say, Lord, it's beyond me needing help. Lord, I need to give this to you. I need for you to work it out in your time, in your will, not my own. Something we need to remember also. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Trust in Jesus. Pray for him to direct his infinite wisdom and authority in these times of weakness, and take your hands off the controls. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. There's no other way that the Lord can do this. We can't do this in our own time of weakness. Pray to receive God's strength. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants of Jesus Christ's sake. For God, who says, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18 goes on to say, but before I read this, I want to say the strongest words of encouragement, the strongest words of love, the strongest words of faith, the strongest words that can change a life and give the strength that is needed and help that those that need help are in this book, the Holy Bible. Read it. Learn from it. And as I said before, each time before I read a lesson or each time before I read the book, I ask God and Jesus Christ, I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill my heart and open my mind to accept and to understand the wisdom that the Lord has put in this book for us. And it is incredible wisdom. It's life-changing. It's life-altering. It is just beyond anything I could say as a mere pastor. But all I can say, the most important thing I can say about this book is the book of love. It's the book of love that God has for you. It tells you all about it. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. It is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have a glorious God that teaches us day by day. Sometimes we take a look and we have troubles. Our troubles should not diminish our faith, and it should not delusion us. We should realize that there is a purpose in our suffering. Problems and human limitations have several benefits. One, they remind us of Christ suffering for us. Two, they keep us from pride. Three, they cause us to look beyond this brief life. Four, they prove our faith to others. That's so important. Through those times of trial, trouble, when people look at you as a Christian and see, how are they reacting? Are they coming apart? Are they getting stronger? And when they see that strength through evangelism, when they see that strength through the person standing there at the bedside, when they see that strength of somebody in a disastrous situation being the calm and presence of love, what happens to that person who observes that? That question happens. Where does that strength come from? Where does that peace come from? Where does that calmness, that control come from? Not from them. It comes from only one place. The most important thing about when we have our troubles, relying on faith, it gives God the opportunity to demonstrate his power. See your troubles as opportunities. In Psalm 116, 1 through 9, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. Save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. And when I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Peace and hope is what the Lord offers us. Peace and hope. And it's not a worldly peace. It's a heavenly peace. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace for which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Finally, Psalms 56:13. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Carolyn's mom is no longer in hospice. She has been moved to a nursing home. And that in itself is a miracle. It shows that she is still ministering, that through her, God is ministering to folks around, still ministering to folks around. When it all looks so bleak, when it all looks so desperately that it's going to be over, it's not over. It's not over. It's just begun. Embrace it. God, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for this opportunity to share the word from your holy book. We also thank you, Lord, for all the miracles that we're seeing out there. We thank you for this little church that has such a far, far reach. Lord, some folks ask, are we sowing any seeds? Are we spreading your word? Are we evangelizing? Are we spreading the word of God? Are we just eating the seeds? This little church is spreading that word. As small as we are, the mightier we have been. The small little church that is reaching nationwide through the armed forces, the United States Air Force, through all this that is happening, through the chaplaincy of our Dr. Linda Pugsley that is out there, through all that is going on through our veterans organizations, through the veterans of today that Drew is able to reach, the active duty men that are out there right now, to the veterans of the past, which, Lord, you have shown me my ministry. I thank you, Lord, and for the day-by-day pastoring of our church, the connection that you have, the feeding of our people. I thank you for Pastor Mark and for Shirley and her love of music and praise. We thank you for Lisa, for her willingness and love to teach and be an example and to go with her husband wherever he goes when she can to help bring that word of your grace, and for the wonderful children that this family has raised, because they are the seeds that are spreading more seeds. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We ask that we go through this week and look to you for our guidance, our wisdom, our love, and our hope. Amen. Thank you.